This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Dan Patrick.
So sports may be hard to come by at the moment.
Nothing's permanent.
I'm not saying it's permanent.
But The Dan Patrick Show is impossible to miss. From our podcast to YouTube to the iHeartRadio app. Listen any way you want, anytime, anywhere.
Get away from me.
Probably at your house. I'm just going to make some assumptions.
Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
Truly amazing.
Just a week away from the NFL draft.
Extremely confident.
Nobody brings you bigger guests or better experts.
Dan Orlovsky, football analyst, former NFL quarterback.
Think of all the quarterbacks that we've talked about in the draft in the last 15, 20 years that when the first two or three things out of people's mouth are, he's big, he's strong. More often than not, those cats have failed. Because that stuff doesn't matter. It should be the other way, the mental. And so that's what concerns me about Justin Herbert. Is like, no one's going, man, he's got great instincts. Or, gosh, his accuracy is ridiculous. Or, he's just got this ability to make all these different kinds of throws. Those are all the things that people talk about, or like that I talk about, that he struggles with.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave and the Danettes Homes, this is Dan Patrick.
Final hour on this Friday, Traeger Meat Friday. We will crown our Meat Madness champ. That'll be in about a half hour. Voting will close, and we'll hand out a Traeger grill. You can still vote if you like. Go to the website, danpatrick.com. While you're there, check out the T-shirts. We have the Tampa Bay T-shirts. Still going hot and heavy there. And we haven't received a cease and desist yet from Tom Brady, but maybe that's forthcoming. Hopefully, that's forthcoming. We don't check our mail around here. That's the problem. I got to get Dylan, who does the graphics for the TV portion of the program, I got to get him to go to the post office here and check and see if we got a cease and desist. I have a couple of things that are pretty cool. I have a letter that Commissioner Stern sent to Mark Cuban where he got fined. And I said to Cuban, you've been fined so many times. Can I have one of those letters? And then I framed it and put it in my office here in the man cave. That's pretty good. But a cease and desist from Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay T-shirts, that would be great. And maybe an autograph picture. A cease and desist and an autograph picture, and then we'll consider that. But welcome to the program. A final hour here. Coming up, we'll talk to the PGA Commissioner, Jay Monahan. Golf's coming back. Golf's coming back in June, at least first week in June, and that's what they're, at least that's the time frame. I don't think fans are going to be out there. All of these different scenarios have to do with fans not being in attendance. And there's a variety of scenarios. Let me run something by you. Now, this isn't going to happen. But these are things that are being explored. Baseball was looking at the All-Star weekend in Los Angeles. So that's the middle of July to have a season kickoff event. They were going to have two LA teams. Cody Bellinger and Mike Trout would pick their All-Star teams in a similar fashion to how the NBA does. You're going to have it in LA, and you're going to let Cody Bellinger and Mike Trout, because you're not going to be able to vote on this as a fan into the All-Star game. And they would pick their team for the All-Star game. They also were trying to look at the start of the season over the 4th of July weekend with no fans. They're also, the scenario that I'm being told is this: the World Series was going to be played in Los Angeles in November, whether or not the Dodgers were involved. It was going to be at Dodger Stadium. But, you know, California's statement from 2 days ago saying that large sporting crowds would probably not happen before the end of the year ended the possibility of those scenarios. This hasn't been made public, I don't think, but that these are two scenarios where you have All-Star festivities that kick off, and you had Cody Bellinger and Mike Trout were going to pick teams, and that they were going to hold the World Series in Los Angeles at Dodger Stadium, whether the Dodgers were in there or not. McLovin, update the poll results if you can.
Okay, I put up that signature food question. I know it's silly, but it's Friday. Of the Danettes and you, who has the best city food? Cheesesteaks, number one. Mm. Then Chicago beef sandwiches. And then you and Todd are tied for third. A distant 1% is a New Jersey pork roll.
That's Seton's recommendation of pork roll. I've been to Jersey a lot. I don't know if I've ever had a pork roll.
Oh, man. You don't know what you're missing.
You guys lead the league in diners, though, don't you, in Jersey?
Yeah. We got a strong diner culture, for sure.
Yeah, we have Gold Star and Skyline Chili in Cincinnati and Montgomery in Ribs, which is pretty tasty. But I was trying to squeeze in White Castle hamburgers in there, but I found out that I think they originated in Wichita. We did the research there. But we'll take it. The white one is great. Get a suitcase of White Castles. Man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, we've been talking about the Bulls documentary, The Last Dance. We had the director on. The fact that they're not even done yet. They got six episodes done. They got two in the red zone and then two that it feels like they're at the one-yard line as they're finishing this up. And Michael Jordan is still, I guess, involved in the process here of, you know, Michael wants this to be great. And once he committed to doing this, I think he wanted to make sure that they were going to present this in the way that he thought was honest and who they were going to interview. But what I asked Jason Hare, who is the director of this, I said, who is not going to like how they're portrayed? And he's like, well, you know, I'm portraying everybody honestly. I said, who's not going to like this? He said, well, Isaiah Thomas. we asked for Isaiah to join us. He was on XM, Sirius XM NBA Radio on Wednesday, and he had this to say when asked the question of LeBron or Michael Jordan, who's better? And this, I think, on the heels of Bill Laimbeer, Isaiah's teammate, who was asked to pick between LeBron and Michael. But we'll hear from Isaiah Thomas, the NBA Hall of Famer, and then we'll hear from Bill Laimbeer.
When it comes to the LeBron and the Jordan debate, I've said that I think LeBron is a more complete basketball player all around than Jordan was. Jordan was, you know, a dominant scorer, and he could score the basketball. But what LeBron James has done in terms of passing, scoring, rebounding, winning, you know, and in terms of just a all-around player, you know, in my opinion, LeBron James is a better all-around player. Now, Michael Jordan is a more devastating scorer. When you talk about, you know, assisting and passing and getting people involved, as, you know, Laimbeer said, you know, it took Jordan a while to figure out how to do that, how to get his teammates involved, how to make his teammates better. It took him a while to learn how to do that. LeBron James came into the league understanding how to do that. And he's been doing that his whole career.
All right. I mean, I said this in the first hour. I look at LeBron as a more all-around, well-rounded player. But understand this. When we talk about Isaiah talking about Michael as a great scorer, Michael was also, I believe, Defensive Player of the Year. I'm going to guess he was on first-team All-NBA defense probably 10 years in his career. There's only offense and defense in the NBA, and Mike was great at both ends of the floor. Now, was he a great teammate? Did he make teammates better? We can argue that. Was he a better passer? No. Was he a better rebounder? No. Could LeBron score in more ways than Michael? Yes, in my opinion. Yes. But if I'm winning a title and there's one game, I'm taking Mike. And if you ask Isaiah that, I wonder what his answer would be. Here's Bill Laimbeer, also part of the Bad Boys. He was on First Take, and he had this to say about picking between LeBron and Michael.
I'm very vocal. I think LeBron is the best player that's ever played the game. He's 6'8", 285 pounds, runs like the wind, and jumps out of the gym. And more importantly, when he came in the league from day one, he knew how to involve his teammates to win. And that's something that Jordan had to learn for a long time. Now, if you go by championships, obviously Michael Jordan has more championships. But I think LeBron in any generation would be doing what he's doing right now all these years. And I think he, at the end of the day, I firmly believe that he's the best basketball player in the history of the game.
All right, that's fine. I mean, this is what's fun about this. Now, it gets tiring after a while. Nobody, it's when you argue politics, nobody ever goes, you know, you're right, I'm going to be a Republican. You know what? You're right, I'm going to be a Democrat. Like, it never happens. It's a sport. You go back and forth. And if you're there with Michael Jordan and you're in the trenches with Mike, you're not changing. You're going to go wire to wire. You're not. You're just going to go, nope, Mike's the greatest of all time. Mike never missed a game-winning shot. No, he did.
Paulie, you're going to give me examples.
Paulie thinks it's actually true.
Still waiting for details on
that. I went back and looked at the Seattle Supersonics series, and Michael didn't play well. I thought Seattle was a better team.
You see my head?
Sorry, Paul. Sorry, you got whiplash there. I think Mike shot 41%. And, like, he wasn't great. I thought Sean Kemp at times was the best player on the floor. But, you know, you don't think of Mike not having a great game. LeBron's had some incredible games. Absolutely incredible games. But we only look at what he didn't do. We don't look at what he does. With Mike, we look at what he did, not what he didn't do. And that's where it's not fair. You can make an argument if you said, who do you have to take, you know, number one pick overall? I can take Kareem. And you have nobody who can stop Kareem. No one. And I can have, you know, young Kareem was a guy who was going 31, 16, and 4, you know, block shots. It's a fun argument. It's a fun discussion. But it's not winnable either way. Now, you can say scoreboard with Jordan, hey, 6 titles. Okay. LeBron, to me, but, you know, LeBron learned. Kobe learned. They learned from Michael. You know, they watched. And now you're going to have a whole new generation of players learning from Steph Curry. They're not learning from LeBron. You can't be 6'8", you know, 285 pounds. But you can be 6'3", 180 and do what Steph does in your mind. But you can't go, hey, I'm going to be LeBron. Like, when you play in the backyard, who goes, hey, I'm LeBron? Yeah, you're not. Hey, I'm Jordan. Well, no, you're not. Hey, I'm Vince Carter. No, you're not. Hey, I'm Steph Curry. Okay. Anybody can fire from three-point range. And now they want you to do that. Well, it's fun to have this discussion. The documentary and how we're going to look at Jordan, I'm curious about. This is what I'm really interested in. What we think of Jordan, when this is all said and done, it's a whole new generation seeing this. And you're going to see it as it was happening in real time. And I don't think you're going to like what you see with Michael Jordan, the personality-wise. But if I'm Michael Jordan, I don't care what you think. I didn't care then. I don't care now. Unless he's saying, you know, I'm getting older. I like to have a little softer image. If you think that way, wait till you see him when he has the tablet with Isaiah Thomas talking about him and the Bulls, and he basically wants to kick his butt. Now he wants to do that. He's not softening his image. Yeah, Paul.
Do you guys think there could be some of the opposite reaction to the Jordan documentary after seeing how competitive and not friendly he was to even teammates and competition? people are going to say, you know, this new generation, they could use a little bit of that. This younger generation of athlete, instead of being so friendly and partnering and all this stuff, why don't they be more like Mike and more of an assassin and more instead of concerned about marketing and being friendly with each other? I could see that direction as well.
Oh, I'm all for it, but you know, I've been saying that before. Where long time with you know, I don't want to be friends with you. I can be friends but not on the court. But and that's the way Michael was. That's the way Bird was. You know, I mean, Magic and Isaiah were friends, which I didn't like that. You know, you can be friends, but you know, I don't need that where you kiss him on the cheek before a game. Like, you know what? Kiss him on the cheek in the tunnel before a game. Like, you know, let's just go out and play. You want to kill him. All right? Your friends? I would never. If you're my friend on the court, you're not my friend. And that's the way Michael approached everything. He couldn't do it nowadays. It's not PC. And that's the shame of this. Like, LeBron is perfect for today. Michael would not be perfect for today. Like, we would marvel at Jordan. We wouldn't love Jordan. Because you'd be like, oh, that guy's a jerk, man. Did you hear he punched Steve Kerr? Who punches Steve Kerr? I'm like, I don't know. Michael Jordan. I asked this to Fritzy. Things to know about year-end NFL Players Association Top 50 Players Sales List. Okay, I don't care at the end of the year. I want to know about Brady in Tampa. Who cares about this list? I need the updated list. Patrick Mahomes moved past Tom Brady into the number one position, the official list of top-selling players from March 1st, 2019 to February 29th, 2020. Okay, I want to know.
It's kind of an interesting little tidbit. Brady's been number one the last couple of years.
When did Brady go to Tampa?
I understand.
Yeah,
these numbers are very skewed because
I don't care.
I'm sure it's skyrocketed now that he's wearing the Bucs jersey.
Who doesn't have a jersey in New England of Brady? And how many people around the league are buying Patrick Mahomes jersey? If you're just getting around to buying a Brady jersey, come on.
You know, this guy's going to make it. This Brady, let's get one for the Sun.
This is stupid. It is. It's stupid. I want to know, Brady is going to have the number one jersey this year, I'm guessing. That would be interesting. And now, if Mahomes was going to have the number one jersey, I'd say, wow, even with Brady, you know, going to Tampa. Because, you know, New England fans are buying Tom Brady Buccaneer jerseys. That's what I find interesting as well. All right, Todd's scoreboard is 7-20. Every day, we have a Todd's scoreboard contest where you win some t-shirts. Ryan in New Haven, Connecticut is today's winner. 7-20.
And the clue is, which no one got as far as the winner, lumberjacks. Like Walmart, this is lumberjacks would be your clue for this.
7-20. Mike.
One involves, go ahead.
Mike Schmidt, number 20.
1976, which was the play of the day, that four consecutive home run game to come back to beat the Cubs in 10 innings at Wrigley is the second number, number 20.
Okay.
Number 7 is a this date in history involving lumberjacks, which kind of sounds like a baseball person.
Mickey Mantle.
It was New York Yankee Mickey Mantle's first game on this date in 1951. He went 1-for-4. The Mick, of course, number 7.
All right.
Mick and Schmidt.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Would you stay on that jersey story for me with Tom Brady?
I'm working hard on that. I'm sweating it out. You put me on the stand. I felt terrible that I gave you some information, and then you called on me to explain it, and I was ill-prepared to give you any information other than forwarding you a story from Variety.
You know what's great, though? You finally admitted that you were ill-prepared for that.
Which I hate to do.
I just wanted you to – I didn't know why you sent it to me because I said there's no news here.
And I certainly didn't know why you were going to put me on the spot there and then Seton trying to bail me out by joining you and saying, tell me, who ordered the code red?
Answer the question, Todd.
I ordered the code red! Yes, Seton.
Should have just thrown Mario under the bus like you normally been doing.
All else fails, exactly throw Mario under the bus. Just got this. Career stats for steals per game. Michael Jordan, 2.35. LeBron, 1.60. I don't know how many times Mike was first-team All-NBA defense, but I'm going to guess he probably had a good decade run there. And I think he was defensive player of the year as well. But it's fun. Fun to discuss. Rob in Ohio joins us. Hey, Rob, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, a long time, first time. I'm listening to you from back in the Rob Dibble days. But I just had a question. I think that when we're talking about Jordan and LeBron, nobody ever talks about the level of defense that was played. I mean, because if you think about the NBA in the 80s and the 90s, that was a rough era. I mean, so how would today's players, could they hold up to that? I mean, when you're going against Barkley and Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing, and there's a lot of elbows and whatnot thrown back in those days.
Yeah, yeah. There's guys who wouldn't be – if guys were from this era, played back then, or had a sampling of that, they'd be like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, that's mean. That hurts. Hey, call foul on him. There was so much that went on back then. It wasn't great basketball from the standpoint of you were allowed to beat up the star players. And, you know, they created the Jordan rules. The Pistons were going to put Mike on his back. And back then, you know, we didn't have flagrant ones and twos. And, you know, you had playoff fouls. You had regular season fouls. It was different. And if you can't hand check, and I'll go back to when Phil Jackson put out his book. And I said, how would Jordan do in today's game? And he said, you know, he'd average, I think he said 40 or 45 points a game. You couldn't put your hands on him. Jordan, first-team all-defense 9 times in his career. LeBron James, 6 times, 5 on the first team and 1 second team. Although he became a lazy defender last year. But he does have that ability, obviously, to make big plays. We've seen them. All right, we'll take a break. The commissioner of the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, will join us coming up. His thoughts on, you know, they played that opening round of the Players' Championship. And that was always, that was kind of strange because you thought, boy, they're going to be able to pull this off because you had fans there. You have a lot of fans there in Florida for that event. And they played that first round, and then that was it. I was curious what went into that decision. And now you have the PGA Championship. You know, that's back on the board. You have the U.S. Open, but you're going to have a golf tournament in Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth, the Colonial. And that's going to be first week in June. Feels aggressive. Are you going to have fans? You're going to have robotic cameras? Like, what exactly can you do? What's different about golf coming up? I said to Bubba Watson yesterday, why don't you guys carry your own bag? I think that'd be fun because you get that big bag, but if you have to carry your own bag, you'll get one of those real small travel bags. That big bag, nobody, like the bags I have over here, the staff bag that I have, you don't go to the golf course unless you're Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. Yeah, Paul.
Wait, Callaway was nice enough to give us staff bag years ago, and I went up to Vermont. I was playing golf with some friends. You know what I am. I am a C minus at best as a golfer, and that's probably being kind. I walk in with this brand new Callaway staff bag.
Not good.
I think the tag was still on it.
Not good.
It's just a total poser.
Not good.
Yeah, been there.
Not good.
I look cool.
And you know, you had Dan Patrick's show logo on the bag, and
the clubs saw the stickers on them. Yeah. Just unwrapping them right there.
The plastic wrap was still on the face of the club. All right, phone calls coming up. Take a break. 21 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. You check things all the time, email, your Instagram, but what about checking something as important as your credit? Discover makes it quick and easy. Best of all, it's free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores, the score used by 90% of top lenders, and they do it for free, even if you're not a customer. Checking your score won't hurt your credit, and you can check each month for changes. The Discover Credit Scorecard, it's free for everyone. Learn more at discover.com/creditscorecard. That's discover.com/creditscorecard. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw where it felt like golf was moving closer towards coming back, and then I saw where we may have golf, hopefully have golf, in the beginning of June as we welcome the commissioner. Commissioner, how are you?
Dan, it's great to hear your voice, and we're hanging in there.
Where are you right now?
I am at TPC Sawgrass, making this phone call from the Players Championship Media Center.
Take me back to the Players' Championship, because you played that opening round. What went into that? How much discussion did you have before the Players?
You know, we had started to – we've got a crisis management team that meets weekly, that had been meeting on this subject over really the two prior weeks. And we started to talk about – with the potential impacts, but candidly, Dan, we were thinking it was further down the road.
Okay.
And we came into the week, we began our practice rounds, and on Wednesday, the eve, you know, of our first round, I came out of a reception that we were hosting. I looked at my phone, and the NBA had postponed their season. And so we went into a period really of 30 hours where we made the decision, one, to play Friday without fans, and then ultimately decided on Thursday night late that, just based on, you know, the rapid escalation of this coronavirus, that we needed to cancel for the safety of our players and our fans.
What is the game plan now as we target the first week in June at Colonial?
The game plan is to continue to spend a lot of time on our to make certain that we're creating the safest, most responsible environment for our players. We've announced that we're going to play without spectators. We need to refine our testing system, our testing protocols, again, to ensure that safety. We're looking at every single movement and interaction to create the safest environments for players, caddies, and media members that will be broadcasting the event and other key constituents, and continue to really look, Dan, at what's happening in that marketplace. So work with local, city, state officials, make sure that everything that we're doing is validated and supported, and that as we get closer and closer, that we're in position to execute the event. But we're, we recognize that we're also operating in a world of uncertainty. So, looking at all the different scenarios that can play out, and how we're going to respond and handle them. But for us, we felt like, our sport does lend itself very well to social distancing. Mm-hmm. We think this is the right approach to come back. And at the same time, we felt it was important to be able to show our players and our fans what the schedule would be through the end of the year, assuming that we can get the right systems in place.
How much conversation have you had with the President of the United States on this?
I've actually had conversations during the week of the players as we were deciding what we were going to do right then and there. And I was fortunate, alongside a number of other leaders in our industry, to be invited to a conference call a couple weekends ago, and then to this committee that he's formed on the reemergence, revitalization of our country, a committee of sports leaders. And it's an honor to be on it. And it's also wonderful, Dan. You cover so many sports, have done so brilliantly over your career. There aren't too many times when our industry comes together to tackle and to problem solve. And that's one of the things that we're doing across leagues, across leadership, and to have the support of our government right now is incredibly helpful.
What would change that time frame, June in Texas?
I think you just look at what happens on the ground there. So it really depends on where we are, with cases. Well, that event is in Fort Worth in particular, and where we are with the virus in that marketplace, where we are, across the country, where we are with testing. We're going to be reliant on large scale and rapid response testing. And we feel like we're going to be able to administer a program that will allow us to ensure to the greatest degree possible a safe and responsible environment. But we're going to need, we're going to need the support of everybody on the ground in that marketplace. And we're going to need to know that we're comfortable that, for those that are on property, that we feel like we've created the safe environment that we intend to.
The first thing I thought of was, you have an international field. Your stars are all over the world. To get them to be coming back to the United States, I don't know how many of these players are outside of the country. And then to fly back in, what kind of hurdles are you looking at with getting everybody to be in one city at the same time?
Well, to that point, we have 93 players from 28 countries, and we have been in close contact with all of our athletes since we left the Players' Championship. Right now, we believe we have 25 players that are outside the U.S. And roughly 35 caddies. So, we're going to have to make certain that we're doing everything we can, everything we can to be of help to them as they seek to come back, and continue to monitor travel restrictions, border closures, and other things that will be a consideration for them as they look to return. The beauty is that if we're able to play under this schedule, our players can't play every single week. So we've announced a schedule that takes us through the end of this FedEx Cup season, Labor Day weekend, and all the way up through December. So we're hopeful, based on what we're hearing, that we'll be able to be, to get our players back here and give them enough time to prepare, particularly those that are seeking to return the week of the Charles Schwab Challenge.
I did say to Bubba Watson yesterday, I said, why don't you guys carry your own bags so we don't even have caddies out there?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
What did Bubba say?
Well, he was okay, but I think he needs help reading putts and things like that, it sounded like.
Listen, I think the role that our caddies play, caddies are essential as it relates to the competitive performance of players, and And we feel like we can create the right environment for the player caddy relationship when we return. But your point is, I think it really hits on the exercise that we're going through, literally looking at every single movement that a player and a caddy has from the moment that they land, you know, in that, you know, at that airport to the moment that they leave, and really thinking through what are the steps that we can take to create the safest, most responsible environment. You really can't leave anything for chance when you have this amount of uncertainty in front of us.
Commissioner, it's good to talk to you. Hope you're well, and hopefully we get golf back here soon.
Dan, always great to talk to you. Thanks for the great work you and the team do.
Thank you. That's Jay Monahan, PGA Tour Commissioner. And he included the team.
Attaboy.
Yeah, but I think that's because Seton's wife knows the commissioner. Did they go to high school?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. So I think that's what he's really saying. Hey, Aaron's husband, Seton O'Connor, is what
that's
really.
That's all right. Get the group involved, though.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, I'm not as much. But yeah, that's good. Get the team here. All it takes is one person. That's why this is so tenuous. One person tests positive, then all of a sudden you go back to square one. If you have baseball, somebody tests positive. I know everybody's going to have testing there by that time and all that stuff. It's just one person tests positive, and it's a house of cards here. I'd love to have golf back. No spectators. I'd make the players carry their own bags. I'd have robotic cameras out there. You know, another thing, who's going to grab, you know, you grab the flag? Who's grabbing the flag to take it out? And then do you have to wear gloves? It's small little things that you don't even think of when you play golf. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, I felt a little more confident after hearing him. It sounded like he had at least a common sense plan. Not that it's going to work, but I kind of bought a little bit of it, at least felt hope.
Oh, I want to have hope here, but I also deal in reality. And that's where I just want to make sure other things in the world are safe before I go, man, I could really use some live sports. Like, I'm going to watch the WNBA draft. Is that this weekend? Is that tonight?
I think it's tonight.
Okay. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to watch Bosch. I think it's season 6 of Bosch coming back. But I think I'm watching the WNBA draft tonight to see my girl, Sabrina Ionescu, go to the New York team. What are they called? The Liberty?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
I woke up this morning. All of Twitter was excitement for Bosch. There are so many fans who are fired up for tonight. Are you going to watch it all at once?
Bosch is like old school detective in Los Angeles. And I think it's Titus Welliver is the star. And he's really good. There's some really good characters on there. His partner, Jerry, is from The Wire. I don't know what role he played in The Wire, but it's a really good show. I think it's sneaky good. But if you want to give that a chance and check out Bosch, yeah, Paul.
Jamie Hector plays Jerry Egger.
Yeah.
In Bosch, he was Marlowe in The Wire.
Okay.
Last few seasons of The Wire, he was a drug kingpin.
Yeah.
You want no part of Marlowe?
Well, there are a lot of people you didn't want a part of in The Wire.
Marlowe's crew was tough.
Yeah. Brandon in Ohio is the big winner. He had 55% of the vote. He won the Meat Madness. He gave us the Biggie song, did a wonderful job with that, and we'll get a Traeger grill out to him. We had over 2 million votes in the Meat Madness. Thank you for all those who took part. And the competition was stiff because we had 8 seeds that were taken out number 1 seeds. Really, really wonderful. And I think next year, Seton's idea, so blame him. Original songs. Maybe we have artists who come up with original songs, like singer-songwriters, the way it used to be. Yeah, Seton.
And there's no saying that the original song has to be good. I mean, some are going to be better than others, but we could take the bad ones just as well as much as we could take the good ones.
Yeah.
But just it's original this next time.
Yeah, sometimes it's better if it's bad.
Yeah.
But that's next year. That's next year. I got another competition coming up. Maybe it's next week, if not a week after that I think will be very interesting for you. and have that for you. Hopefully next week, if not the week after that. Meat Friday, welcome to the Traegerhood. Buy select grills between now and April 26th. Get a grill cover, two bags of pellets free. Go to TraegerGrills.com/DP Show or visit a participating dealer to get yours today. Let me go to Kyle in New Hampshire. Hi, Kyle.
Dan, it's good to talk to you.
Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind?
510, 210. So listen, I've been watching NBA religiously for about 30 years, so I don't have quite the resume that you do. But I am fascinated by the GOAT debate. And I got a bone to pick with you first, and then a quick bone to pick with Isaiah. I'll start with you.
All right.
You made the comment that you think LeBron can score in a wider variety of ways than Jordan. And I got to tell you, man, that's just crazy talk. I'm not saying LeBron doesn't have a nice repertoire, but when it comes to shot making and the repertoire that Jordan had, I would just ask that you go back and sort of refresh your memory on YouTube, because there's plenty of material there for you to do so.
Well, Mike wasn't a deep shooter. Mike was a mid-range jumper.
But there's a misconception that LeBron is a significantly better outside shooter when he's about a 34 career percent three-point shooter. Jordan shot 32 for his career.
Yeah, but I'm talking about volume. I'm talking about that ability to do that. LeBron can do – he can play center and point guard.
Yes, absolutely.
He can play it offensively and defensively.
Variety of scoring moves, Dan, which was the implication, variety of ways you could put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it. LeBron's primary move his whole career has been putting his head down and barreling to the lane. And there's no shame in that. It's a great move. It's effective. But in terms of variety, you got to go back and take a look at Mike on YouTube, because it's not even close.
I think you're so underrating what LeBron James has done. I do. Look, Jordan is spectacular. But, you know, his ability on offense is better than Michael's, because if I also factor in passing the ball, he's a better offensive weapon from the ability of making people better. Jordan didn't make people better unless he, you know, was browbeating them. When you say that's fair?
Making repertoire.
What?
I think that's fair, yeah. But okay. If it's strictly for shot-making repertoire, it's Mike all day, and it's not even close.
Well, I'll disagree, because I think that when we factor in off – and thanks for the phone call, Kyle. I could tell where Kyle was leading up to something, where he was going to say something nice, and then he was going to say something that wasn't. I've been in this business long enough to know that there it is. Hey, I'm a big fan, and blah, 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 blah. But I'm going to have a bone to pick with you. I just think LeBron is underrated with people, because there is a negativity attached to him for some reason. No negativity to Michael Jordan. When's the last time somebody, you know, had something negative to say about Mike? Oh, wait. LeBron, every single game. Every single game. Nobody criticized Mike. Yes, he.
To be fair, though, Michael Jordan never missed a shot.
That's true.
So
you're right.
It was tough to criticize him in those moments.
You're right. Yeah, Paul.
Never missed a shot in the playoffs. I heard he missed some in the regular season, just to be fair.
If I just said offensive weapon, LeBron's going to be probably the all-time leading scorer. So you can't say, boy, the guy can't score. He's got one move? So a guy with one move might be the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game. Imagine if he had like a second move. How many he would have scored. How great is LeBron on the break? Yes, McLovin.
Didn't Kareem only have one move? Not to be mean.
Yes. I think Kareem's underrated too. We forget, he's the most unstoppable guy in the history of basketball. He is. And I know that Mike didn't shoot as many threes. He's got half as many, a third as many three-pointers as LeBron does. But, you know, back then you weren't shooting threes. Now, did Michael have a better-looking shot? Yes, he did. But I think we underrate LeBron. We do. Because everything Mike did was the best that anybody's ever done, apparently. And LeBron, yeah, but he's not Mike. Yeah, but he's not Magic. Yeah, but he's not Kobe. He's not. Take a break. It's time for us to have some French dip on the Traeger grill. Send you into the weekend after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't want to say this French dip is great, but this French dip that we just put on the Traeger grill earlier today is great. Paulie, how's your French dip?
I'm actually holding on to it until I could really, you know, get into it. Oh. Elbows on the table, a little privacy, because it's going to be a mess.
What are you guys having at your houses? Oh. Todd, what are you having today for lunch?
I have a salami sandwich on an onion roll waiting for me. It does not sound quite as exciting as what you guys got going on.
Well, what about you, McLovin?
Chicken soup out of a can.
Okay. All right. What about you, Seton?
I'm hearing word of some type of tuna fish situation.
Oh, this French dip is really good. It's really good. It's really good. Did I mention it was really good that we All made right. on the Traeger grill? Really good. Good. It's a good way to go into the weekend. A little French dip there. This day in sports history, what do you have for me, Paul?
1945, a man named Pete Gray made his major league debut of baseball with the St. Louis Browns.
One arm.
Age 30. Yes, Dan, he had one arm, Pete Gray. So at age 30, he made his major league debut. As a six-year-old in Pennsylvania, he lost his arm in a wagon accident. Mm-hmm. And he was right-handed, lost his right arm, learned how to play left-handed, tried to join the Army at one point in his life. They wouldn't let him in. He played minor league baseball, bounced around, and finally finished his career by playing half a season with the St. Louis Browns and hit .218 with one arm.
And what Jordan hit?
Come on.
Oh, no, my bad.
Too soon.
No, that's my bad. All right, it's my bad.
That's called a callback.
It's my bad.
Full circle.
Yeah, it's my bad. All right. I'm standing up for all the others since this is going to be Michael Jordan's month here, you know, with the documentary. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it for this day in sports history?
Pete Gray, one arm.
All right. We also had Mike Schmidt hit four home runs on this day. Mickey Mantle, what did he do on this day, Todd?
Mickey Mantle's first game, and I was corrected by social media that he initially wore number 6, and then we know him as number 7. So technically, you know, I guess for that, at least that first game, for a little while, he was number 6. So
isn't that in the Billy Crystal 61 movie?
I think you're
right. Don't they talk about that?
7 and 20, but for that particular date, it's really 6 and 20.
But I also think, you know, Pete Maravich came into the NBA, and I think he was 44 in college. He was 19. That was his number, I think, when he first got there. Then I think he might have gone 44 and then 7. But he changed his number around a little bit there. Final results of the poll question, McLevin.
Okay, all I'm going to give you is the last place favorite Danette City food. -4% said pork roll in New Jersey.
Pork roll. Oh, by the way, the new cartoon, the Danimations we've been doing, have to do with Fritzy's pork off.
Sausage off?
Sausage Excellent. Off. Pork off.
Sausage off. Enough of that.
Yeah.
Sausage off.
Hawk sausage off.
Hawk. I was going to say. That's actually become my favorite part of it. Because you know what's right around the corner.
What did you learn on today's program, Todd?
Craig Kilborn had deep range on the basketball court. He played at Montana State.
Yep. He was good. He was a good player. McLevin, what did you learn?
Apparently, Isaiah is not going to like this documentary.
Yeah, doesn't look like that. Seton O'Connor.
In case you are interested in educating yourself on the greatness of Michael Jordan, go to YouTube and catch up on some highlights.
And I could catch up on all of his plays, all of his offensive moves. Paulie, what'd you learn?
As much as I want to watch the Michael Jordan documentary, I'd rather watch Isaiah Thomas watching the Michael Jordan documentary.
What did I learn, Todd?
You learned and still remember Stuart Scott extremely competitive.
Booyah!
He'd have his forearm out and put the full court press on you.
Get some more information on that Tom Brady jersey sales, okay, over the weekend.
Have your French dip over.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom. They take care of your estate plan without you leaving your home. Learn more at LegalZoom. Zoom.com. Be safe, be smart. Talk to you Monday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.